Hey, welcome back to another episode of What Does the Book Say with Jason, Daniel, Ken, and we have a special guest, one of my favorite people on the planet, Alex 1.0. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hello.
There we go. This is what I call my pillars of faith and strength. These four guys are my rocks in life, in scripture. I bounce stuff off of them. They tell me the truth. And I don't need to pretend with them, not that we pretend, but you know what I mean? We don't have to circumvent the gospel to try to salt and pepper it so somebody can, you know, choke it down in the words, right?
Exactly.
So Jason brought up an episode, and I know we've covered this a couple of times, but we're going to cover it basically on a more personal level. Why don't you read the verse, Jason?
Hi guys, how you doing? And to our listeners out there, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and this one really hits hard, close to, you know, me and in my internal family. And it says, in whom the God of this world. Now, I have heard many people ask me, you know, Jason, who is the God of this world? Isn't it God? Isn't it Jesus? And I says, no, it is Satan. Oh, well, how can you say something like that? That's not true. No, I says, you need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine onto them. I mean, again, that verse there shows that they're not talking the God of this world as it being Jesus or God. It's saying here that the gospel is hid from those individuals, you know. And I wanted to touch on, again, you know, personally, to you guys and to our listeners.
But Jason, hold on 1 second, Jason. Let's show the listeners, where did mankind drop the ball? And it's in Genesis 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, now think, like we've all talked about this. You and I have had in-depth conversations about this, Alex. Did she go running to Adam saying, get a shovel to cut this thing's head off? It's talking. What the heck is going on? No, she had conversation with it. She must have had a conversation with this, with Satan, before this came up. And it says, and he said unto the woman, yeah, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of anything in the garden, but the fruit of the tree which midst of the garden God has said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall you touch, lest you shall die. And this is the first live scripture. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knows that the once that you have eaten it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. Little g, knowing all good and evil. That's one of the first lies, because what do people want to do? They want to become gods. They want to have that power over people. So I just wanted the listeners to know that's where we get the man dropped the ball when he bit of the tree. He became sin, and when sin came in, now sin rules this world. That's how Jason and God can write the God of this world. So I'm sorry I butted in, but I just wanted to make sure people knew where we get that from.
Oh, no, 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 that's fine, Ken. I mean, our listeners should know. And again, that was great. Yeah, but what I wanted to share with you guys is like, how this, you know, affects me and my family is that I had the opportunity to share our gospels in, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And I had them read that. And I was, you know, and they looked at me like they just didn't understand it. And I says, what does that mean to you? And what I was told is it means nothing. I don't understand it. I'm like, it's simple words. If you believe in a death, burial, and resurrection, you are saved. Oh, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. And then I was dismayed by that, and I was shaking, you know, I was scratching my head, and I was just thinking, I'm like, how can they not understand one passage of scripture? And then it dawned upon me, this is what I was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, about how the God of this world, I'm just paraphrasing, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So that just showed me right there, and it hurt, that I have people in my family structure that they don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. They don't understand it. It's foreign to them because, you know, they are of a different religion.
Well, it's not even that, Jason. They're a sin nature. And if they don't understand that, I mean, Alex, you and I were talking about that, what, a week ago, where you almost broke down and cried and said it hurts you physically to know that you have people in your life that just disrespect God where they just don't understand it, right?
Right.
I mean, you're so passionate about the Lord, and that's what all three of us were talking about one day, that I really heard the, what is it, Daniel, the conviction in his voice? The love in his voice for people who are lost?
Hurting for the unbelievers, you know, having empathy for them, having a fraction of what Christ felt prior to allowing himself to be crucified. You know, that's and that's the Holy Spirit right there. That's absolutely the Holy Spirit for sure. Is being able to be empathetic and to be empathetic to people who, you know, it's not popular. It's not popular to give people the benefit of the doubt. I think we were talking about that even earlier today of how, and maybe we've mentioned it again earlier in another podcast, like of today's time is everyone's looking to be offended.
Yep.
And how that is kind of people's first instinct and thinking, just putting yourself in someone else's shoes and trying to give them the benefit of the doubt is certainly an old fashioned thing, now, because, you know, it's not popular. Neither has it ever really been, but, I think to dovetail back to what you're talking about in Alex's voice that day of having the conviction is being a fruit inspector, like you say, and being able to have these relationships with people that prove to you God is real and that the Holy Spirit is present in these relationships that we have. And mm-hmm. it's about loving other people and certainly loving people that either don't know any better or do and do know right? better and are yeah. still acting a fool, but still having love for those and
Yes, never losing sight of what's important.
But like what you were talking about earlier, though, Alex, what is important to other people, what is important to them is usually the secular things. It's the what about, like what Daniel said, what about me? Oh, you offended me. Now I'm going to offend you instead of doing what God does, giving grace. We offend God every single day. I know I do. That's why sin is sin.
Yep. Exactly. I completely agree, Ken. I mean, I offend God more than a few times a day easily, yeah, on a daily basis, you know? And I mean, I hear you on that.
But if he can give us grace, and like 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, and that gospel that Christ went to the cross, he shed his blood, he rose again on the third day in power and glory. If he could do that for me, I could give a little bit of grace for somebody who's having a bad day.
Amen.
I can give a little bit of grace for those non-believers in our family. You guys know my family. I try to raise my sons with that foundation. But my wife is so steeped in Lutheranism and the catechism and Father Abraham prayer and all this other mumbo jumbo, which is no different than voodoo magic. Right? No different than that. And she's heard me talk to you guys. She can't help here but hear me talk to you guys. She has been presented the gospel. She has no excuse going before God, because the God of this world has blinded my wife by giving her traditions to rely on that she completed the work necessary. You know, it's like that one test I was telling you, Daniel, that I used to give in the Marine Corps. It says, put your pencil down and read this test thoroughly before you answer any questions. And you have people doing all the tests. They put down and they look at the back. It says, fold your paper up, sideways, put it down. You have completed the test, right? That's what God has given us. Here's grace. You don't have to do any work. Put your pencil down. I did it all. You have passed the test in that faith in me. Religion has taught these people by the God of this world to be blinded by the simplicity, which I forget the chapter or verse where it says that Paul says that the simplicity of Christ confuses the people that are duped by the God of this world, right?
Right. And that just shows again, you know, that these, you know, other religions that are out there, where, you know, one, God only sanctioned one religion, and that was Judaism. That just shows again that the God of this world created all of those other religions, because it does take you away from the glory of the gospel. You know, because it's all blended up in a blender, and then it's served to you. So you don't know. Is this part for me? Is this part of legalism? Is this, and so on.
Well, think about what he did, Daniel. Daniel, sorry to cut you off, but think about what he did, Jason, at the Tower of Babel when they wanted to go see what God in heaven was, and it wasn't this makeshift mud tower. I think they were trying to pierce the dimension and get into where God was, and he stopped it and he confused them. Right there, Satan invented most of your tribal religions. Most of them.
Yes.
And he did that to confuse people, because the Jews, remember, if they completed their task, they were going to go forth through that world and teach them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was their mission. But the God of this world goes, don't you guys want to have money? Don't you want to build a temple and make profit off of it? Don't you want to live scrumptiously?
Yes, the God of this world, he has a way of making a lot of noise in all our ears to drown out the simple truths that God is presenting, the Lord is presenting. And You have to be mindful of what you're receiving and what you're dishing out based on how loud that noise is that the devil of this world, the God of this world, is putting in all our ears to keep us confused and to keep us in a position as far away from our Heavenly Father as possible. So you got to be very mindful of what you're taking in as well as what you're putting out.
Alex, you definitely hit the head of the nail on that one. I mean, again, just like I was saying about how these other religions out there that are a mishmash of Judaism, Christianity, and I mean, you can just see that now, how that is completely different than what the book says.
A lot of noise.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Right. And that noise confuses people because, again, you know, these people go to, you know, church on Sunday and they sing and, you know, they're reading the Old Testament and all the rest of it. They're going up for communion and they think that they are, you know, pleasing God. And that's not what they're doing, you know, and then the minister says something that's, you know, or the priest says something that's not even in the book, you know, and then they're following it and they feel that they are justified because, you know, their spiritual leader has told them, you know, what to say, you know, what to do. And again, that's just pulling those poor people. If you really think about that, you know, if you take a minute and you think about all those poor people, which, you know, they have good intentions. They're trying to praise the Lord. They're trying to do these things, but they are blinded because of what was given to them.
Well, it just goes back to show, like what you said earlier, Daniel, when the God of this world gets you that conviction in your heart to not look, to look past the good in somebody and only see the negative, right? And we get that drive to put our sins on them, right? Make them our scapegoat. Where that's why you have bad days at work, guys. That's why you have bad relationships. That's why you have all that, because the devil doesn't want you to keep your eyes on the prize. So he creates these conflicts. And you, and no offense, we are the ones that mostly put those conflicts into fruition, and we don't even want to have a resolution because our anger needs a victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And so, just like you were speaking before, Ken, about Genesis, the God of this world had to been speaking to Eve more than once. I mean, God, our Father, being who he is, he has no need to repeat something. He says it once, right, and it's solid and it stands. The devil of this world, on the other hand, seemed to have been whispering in Eve's ear, whispering in Adam's ear through Eve. And that's what I meant when I was talking earlier about a lot of clutter. And yes, pretty soon God's words get dropped out based on all that clutter.
Well, I don't know who was it. It was either Daniel or you, Alex, maybe even Jason, how we sit there and we'll read something. And if we don't go back to the book and reread it, or we don't go back to the book and check out what somebody's told us, we even start to doubt that. That's why I think it's so important that we have to bathe in fellowship like this, bathe in God's word, so we can drown out that noise.
Yes.
There's no problem going back to God going, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Can I reread it with clarity, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but there's been times I've read a verse, and maybe it was you and I, Daniel, talking about it and kind of giggling that we've read a verse and we come back to it a couple of weeks later, and then we go, that's what he meant. Oh my God, I'm so silly for not figuring that out.
I remember that.
So it just it goes back.
I've mentioned that before as well, how you get different meanings from a verse that you read, and that's only because you're allowing yourself to grow, and your eyes are opening, and you're getting a deeper meaning. You're looking past the words to the true meaning of what it is.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's why us four are so good with each other, because we have no ego with each other. We're not trying to prove a point. And I think that's what's so important to our listeners. You can't take God's word and God's book and go, "You're an abomination. God says so," and crack them over the head with it to prove a point. You will never gain insight from what the Holy Spirit wants you to do if you take the book and hate and do something. The book is built on love, sacrifice, believing in that sacrifice. How can you turn it as a weapon? If you don't give enough, you're going to be...
We have no right.
We have no right. But you have people every day, these religious leaders get up and they go, if you don't do this and you don't do that, you don't do this, you're going to hell. Nobody on this planet ever has a right to tell somebody you're going to hell. That's not my That's not my job.
Right.
Nobody can tell me if you don't do this and if you don't do that, God, no, there's only two things that I've ever read. Two, the unforgivable sin, and if you add to the gospel. Other than that, God will forgive you from ever everything, anything you've done. Galatians says, you know, if it's for us or an angel from heaven, which he's talking about Satan, adds, and I'm just paraphrasing, to the death, burial, and resurrection, let him be anathema marcada. And he repeats it again for emphasis. And then Christ says, you can sin against the Father, it shall be forgiven. You can sin against the Son, it shall be forgiven. But he who sinneth against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. And what is the Holy Spirit's responsibility? Everybody says, oh, it's committing suicide. No, that's not it. It's taking God's word... and not believing that when the Holy Spirit told Paul to write that through the death, burial, and resurrection you're saved, when you say to God, thanks but no thanks, that's the unforgivable sin, because how can he save you?
Right.
It's not using God's word as a weapon. It's not that. It's telling the Holy Spirit, thank you for presenting the gospel to me. I much appreciate it, but I want to take these 70 years to 80 years I have on this planet. I want to make a whole bunch of money, and I want to have all these women and all these men, whatever, and then I want to go to a sinner's hell. I'd rather live on Skid Row, eat out of a trash can, than that analogy.
I hear that. Humble.
Because God, to me, is the foundation in which I've built my whole house on. I'm teaching my sons, as you guys know. We teach each other, as you guys know. We're trying to teach others, as you guys know. But we don't use it to get over on somebody. You can't. You just can't. That's why I paraphrase. I say, hey, if I don't know a verse, this is what I think it is. And I ask you guys to, and we have no ego where you go, no, Ken, that's not what that, it's what this is. That's what we're supposed to do. But right. We can't use a verse to lord over each other and think that I'm more superior than you because I have read two more verses of 1 Corinthians, right?
Right.
And that's what the God of this world wants us to do. He wants us to mix up all the religions, all of the science, everything else, like you said so beautifully, Alex. He wants to create so much noise that we can't hear God's whisper. Because remember, God never came in flashy on a horse and shouting trumpets, do-do-do-do, here I am. Came on a donkey, very lowly, and he only had one person say, go tell the priests what happened, right? He didn't have a whole person. He had one person. Because God doesn't have to shout. It doesn't say when he went into the garden, he screamed where the mountain shook. He just said, Adam, where art thou?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. very soft-spoken and humble and full of love, knowing what was going on.
You're correct, because what does it say in John? He humbled himself unto death? He who knew no death humbled himself unto death for us. What right do we have to take what he's given us free? I'm about ready to cry, I don't know why. And to turn it into a weapon to hurt other people. Right? We can't.
Right. Exactly.
He sacrificed himself for me and for you guys, for my sons and everybody that we love. He sacrificed himself for you to be able to take a free gift, plant it, have him water it, you groom it. You know, like we were talking about earlier, guys, you know, one guy plants, another guy waters, another guy cleans the weeds, but it's always God who gives the increase. We can't take that increase for ourselves and say, look what we did.
Absolutely.
We always have to give it back to him for his glory and for his credit.
And amen. Again, you know, that's why we're doing this podcast, to bring glory to God, not to glory to, it's not for us. It is to bring glory to God.
I would feel horrible that if somebody thought that I was doing this to get rich or to get on somebody. I would never, ever, ever, you know, who said it that that religion is the opiate of the masses? I think it was Stalin.
Yes.
And then I think the other one said it's also a way to get rich. That's the truth. Religion is, but God's word is not. God's word is humble, like you said, Alex. If you're being humbled, that means you don't need something except for that faith in that being humble, the humility that comes with God's word, right?
Right.
Being meek. I don't know. I just feel like the more and more I look at humanity, like you and I were talking about yesterday, Jason, with the cosmic rays and the sun that's going to be blowing up in a different dimension, what's going on with Israel right now where it's so bad. Every day I wake up going, God, right now, please take me and Alex and Daniel and Jason and get us the F out of here because I want to come home.
Amen. I pray the same. I pray for that every day.
I can't, please, and, you Lord, know, to have that Trump.
We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I was just like, Lord, please let this be the time for us to finally go. You know, we're supposed to look for wonders and signs. I mean, that's a huge wonder and sign that's going to be happening. And I'm like, Lord, please let this be your coming and take us away from here.
Yes.
Because it just gets
we
to a
should
point.
Have all,
go ahead,
we should have all those. I'm sorry. We should have all those expectations of putting our minds, hearts, bodies, and everything into getting and running into God's arms while he wraps us and bundles us. Oh, I can't ever, ever imagine having a feeling like that.
And that's why I don't think that he will permit us to look at what's going on in this sin. It's like a toilet full of crap, right? Why is he going to let us look at it again? Why would we want to? Think about it. We are with God home in the freaking throne room itself. Why in the world would we ever want to look at this place again?
Exactly.
That's why I don't think that we're going to be permitted to know the family members that didn't get saved. Because I don't think God would want us to be sad. So I don't think we're going to be permitted to know that. We're going to recognize the people that, oh, Daniel, oh, my God, come here, my man. And we're going to love each other and hold each other. But we're not going to sit there and go, wow, Nate's not here. I just don't think God's going to allow that.
Yeah, I can't see that either. You know, God is love.
I mean, looking at my own, you know, family and thinking about the things that, you know, have been said and, you know, trying to, you know, open, you know, their eyes, you know, just to, you know, and just the sheer, you know, the fight back, you know, towards me and that of, well, you just, you know, you believe what you want to believe. Exactly. I'll believe what I want to believe. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then to have these, you know, family members, you know, pass away and then thinking, about that. Like if we got a couple minutes, I'd like to, you know, share, that with, you guys and, our listeners. I mean, I spoke to Daniel on this, but it was my grandmother, and she was, you know, she was a Catholic, and she did love the Lord in her way. She just didn't understand, and I tried and I tried and I tried, and she just did not want to, you know, hear that. And here was the thing too, is that they were out, at bingo, and they were waiting for, the valet, and this person came up and took the keys, and then they left. They walked in, and when they came back, they were looking for their car, and their car was gone. They were not a valet. Well, my grandmother immediately started to pray to Saint Anthony, which is the saint of lost things. Not to God, but to Saint Anthony. And when my grandmother told me about this, she called me the next day to say, yeah, our car was, it was stolen. And I'm like, oh, I says, let's just go ahead and pray. And she's like, well, I've already prayed to Saint Anthony. And I'm like, well, wait, I said, we need to pray to God, Grandma, not to, you know, a fictitious individual. And she was just like, no, you know, and they ended up getting their car back. It was taken as a joyride and she was just kind of like, not like smug with me, but like, see, I prayed to Saint Anthony. I knew it was going to come back to me. And I'm like, instead of, you know, praying to God and asking God, you know, she just asked this fictitious made up individual. And then she was giving, you know, thanks and glory, you know, to that individual instead of, you know, our Lord and Savior. And I would say 6 months or so that she passed away. And I think, you know, about that, because my uncle was a deacon in the Catholic Church. And when she passed away, he said, you know, let's go ahead and pray, you know, Grandma, you know, out of purgatory. You know, because that's where people go and all the rest of this. And I'm just, and I know this, that is not true. But that's what he was been taught. And that's what he teaches other people, you know. And again, that goes back to the God of this world blinding those minds. And I just think, and it hurts, because I've had many family members that have passed and I knew that they did not receive the gospel.
But Jason, it goes back to where God can say, I knew you before the world began, right? It goes back to where God says, I knew the day that you were going to accept by faith. And people always go, oh, then God predestines us. Well, sort of, because it's like a child riding a bike. I can tell when my children are just about ready to have the training wheels off their bike, right? And I could say, I knew you were going to do it. So, no, you can say that God can see our faith grow, that we accept more, that we have more, what did you say, Daniel, that we can have the more tougher meat or swim into deeper things? Right? And once we're in that pool in the deep end, he doesn't have to throw a life raft into us. He knows that we are comfortable swimming in those deep things. Unfortunately, the God of this world wants people to stay in the kiddie pool and not search for those deep things. Because if he could keep them in the kiddie pool, then he can blind them. Right?
Yes. Right.
He can, as Paul says, he can beguile you with a false narrative because you don't have enough milk and meat to sustain yourself to say, this is bad. If somebody...
Jason, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut in, but I wanted to say something before I forgot what it was. I was thinking about what Brother Jason was just talking about his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And how even though God wasn't acknowledged, he still intervened. And he brought that car back.
Right.
It's a lesson that he was teaching in that moment to not only your grandmother, but to you and everyone else that was a part of that story, even the guys that took the car themselves.
Right.
Two birds with one stone, as he put it. It was a lesson to be learned. Even though he wasn't acknowledged, he still intervened and he still helped.
Right.
And it's a lesson that should be learned from everyone that knows that story. It's a lesson that should be learned from that.
Right.
You're right.
Alex, I just have to say, I just love you, man. You complete this little group, and I'm just so happy that you made the time to come on. I mean, when all four of us aren't talking about God and sitting there, and like we've told the listeners hundreds of times, this is no joke, guys. When we talk to each other, it's not 5 minutes before we start talking about God.
Yeah.
Not 5 minutes. Right. And it's the reason why is because each person has a portion of the Holy Spirit in them, and we are drawn together due to the fact that we're like magnets. And God's word is the steel in which we cling to, right?
Right.
And yes. The more magnets, the stronger the pull.
And because of that reason and many more, I love you guys as well. As well as our listeners and our non-listeners, exactly the same.
And that's what I cherish about you, Alex. You don't see the secular world as a cesspool of dung like I do. You see it as a garden which can be planted in. And that's why I need you in my life to help me, teach me to be able to have that lookout without being discouraged at people for not understanding the simple truth that it's not how many times you go to church. It's not how many times you pray over your food. It's not how many times the pastor prays over you. It's the taking the gospel and holding it so dear in your heart that nobody can rip it from you. Not even the God of this world.
And we all have that because we're all connected like a leaf on a branch on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
We're all connected. So it's just your love for God, your respect for him and the grace, and just acknowledging that and willing that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like what we've said a few things.
And applying it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you and I were talking about, Daniel, that one day. Unless you can accept and love God and be being willing to have God love you, there's no way that you can love anybody in the manner in which they should be loved. It's impossible.
Right. He has to come. He has to come first.
Absolutely.
You know how you buy something that you have to assemble and put together. You have to always start at one point before you can move to the next step. Step one, step two. God is that first step to moving to step two, three, and beyond.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you can get that first step down, which is so simple, it's so simple that if you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, you are saved. Unless you can put that as that foundation, whatever you build on, it's going to keep falling.
Y'all know what? Whether it was something that was instilled in us as children, or something in our blood, or something we were taught, or something we come to realize over time. It's something there inside you. He's the light, his glory, his grace. It's something inside you that's it's always there. You just have to have the will to dig it out. No matter how dark things seem, no matter how impossible, no matter how much tears, how much pain, it's there inside you. God is there inside you. All you have to do is dig him out. Willing and dig him out and you'll succeed no matter what you do. You'll succeed just as long as you do it that way.
Absolutely. What verse is it that God said that he was going to give the Comforter?
I'm not sure of.
I think that, what is it? Well, anyway, there's a portion where Christ tells the 12 disciples, he goes, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send the Comforter. I would not give you the Comforter if I not said it. That Comforter, Christ had to say, think about that word, the Comforter. That should just send chills up your spine. To comfort us until our Lord comes back. That's Holy Spirit's role, as the Comforter. Not the Avenger. Not the, I'm going to unleash destruction on you. He is the Comforter for a reason. And how do we get comfort in this age of grace? By God's word. When I pick up the book and I read it, or I share verses with my brothers, I get a good feeling.
Yes, that is in that what you were asking about, Ken. That's in John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter is the name Christ gives the Holy Spirit.
And think about it. The things that he teaches us. That's why it's important that we bathe in his word. Right?
Yes. Even, I'm sorry, as we speak, I felt the devil of this world trying to take my words and make me forget what I was going to say. And everything that I was saying, how I ended it, it even felt to me at the time like I was leading up to something more that I couldn't get out. But I rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ, and it came to me exactly what I was going to say about for us to know what we know about God. It's a lot about God that we don't know, but I do know for a fact and a certainty that God is not complicated at all. He is very, very simple. He's not confusing. But for it to be so much that we don't know about him, he's very simple. He's a very simple being.
Right. And it, like, it goes back what we were saying, the simplicity of Christ. People like to twist the simple to confuse people. And we don't have to have that. All we have to do is take what you said, Alex, take that simplicity, which is Christ, hold it in our heart, and not listen to the devil, right? Not listen to him, not cater to him, right?
Right.
Yes. And the devil of this world is so scheming and so cunning, you would have what God has given you in your hand. And the God of this world will present you with things that look and appear to be more than what you're already holding. And what you're already holding from the very start is what God himself gave you. So the God of this world will try to present you with things that look more shiny and look more beautiful and look more this and more that, trying so hard to get you to let go of what you're already holding close to your heart, this worth it. The noise, again, like we've been talking about the whole time. And when he see you don't put that down, he'll present you with something else that looks, he ups the gifts that look more and more ravishing and revealing and beautiful to get you to let go of what you have in your hand already.
Think about the garden
that God has already given you.
Right. Look at the garden. Eve had everything. Everything. Except for one beautiful looking apple, or whatever that was. I think the apple is a term of something that was so intrinsically valued. God just said, guys, you can have everything else, but this is mine. Just don't touch. Just like your dad would, right? This is mine. You can have everything in the refrigerator, but this is mine. As soon as you tell somebody that, what do they do? Just like kids, like, this is wet paint. Don't touch it. They got to touch it. Is it wet? Oh, yep. Still wet. So they had everything, and he tempted them with the one thing that they thought that they had, but then they lost everything else. And that's what he does.
The interesting part about that, I'm not sure that many, I haven't heard many people bring up, was this one fruit that they couldn't have. I'm starting to think it didn't even taste as good as they thought it was. I'm pretty sure
it was sour.
Other things in the garden that tasted way better, and they took a bite of something that didn't even taste as good as what God already had offered.
Isn't that the life, though, guys? Isn't that life, Daniel? That we sit there and we go, gosh, what is the phrase? The grass is always greener on the other side until you get there, and it's as dead as what's on your side?
Yep.
So God,
and you had it good the whole time.
And you had it good the whole time. The climate was good. The climate was good. It didn't rain. They had perfect food, perfect weather. The animals came up. And, I mean, I would have loved to have been in the garden playing with a bear and lions and stuff. That would have been awesome. But the woman was not satisfied. Why didn't he go to Adam? Because Adam would have probably told him, nope, I'm have it good. I have dominion over all of this. This is all God gave this for me to a reason. And I think Satan was jealous. I think he was conniving. And he did it like he does with all of us. Look how many wars have been built on religion and women. Religion and women. Religion and women. There's been more fights over that stuff than there ever has been in anything.
But, and we all need to take a lesson from Genesis. Let's not point fingers at each other and ourselves. Let's all zero in on the real enemy who wants to see the downfall of mankind.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Well, we're almost at 50 minutes, so if you guys are good, let's call this. Anybody want to add anything, or anybody want to say the prayer to take us out?
I could pray for us.
That would be great, Daniel.
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, for just waking us up today, for being there for us, for allowing us to find one another, allowing for this podcast to be something to continuously look forward to, and hopefully just enact the necessary change of thinking that people need in order to rely on you, my Lord, in order to trust in you, and in order to just believe in you, Lord, more and more every day. Because your love is evident, it's apparent, continuously is something that binds us together and forms community, Lord, and forms strength. We definitely have two or more gathered, and your presence has definitely been felt. Just ask, Lord, that you follow us to our own homes and relationships and significant others. Just share a fraction of your blessing, Lord. Just a fraction of your mercy to allow us to accomplish the things that you want us to do, Lord. Not what we want to do, but what you want. Just allow everyone to enjoy this day of fellowship, enjoy whatever comes our way, knowing that you're here, and you always have been, you always will be. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Before we go, I just want to say thank you to Jason, Alex, and Daniel. You guys complete me in a sense that if I have a bad day, or if I have bad thoughts, or if the devil's attacking me like he does, you guys help me become the armor and the helm and the sword and the shield. Because without that kind of fellowship, I really do feel sorry for our listeners that don't have a fraction of love that I do out of you guys. So I want to thank you, and I want to let you know that I never take you guys for granted. You guys are always with me in thought and prayer, and I always pray and love you guys.
Love you guys.
Thank you, brother. I love you, and I love each and every one of you. I love our listeners. And just in case our listeners feel like they don't have it, trust me, you have it. You may have it from someone that you see every day and not recognize, or someone you may never have seen your whole life. But you're always prayed for, and you're always loved, and you're never alone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, guys, and we will catch you on another episode, and just have a good week, everybody.
Yeah, guys, have a good week.
Yeah, y'all have a good week as well. I love y'all.
Love you guys.
Love you, too.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.